So that's my topic. It's called The List, and it's there's probably not a big portion of the sermon that goes about a list, but the reason why I put the list in there is two, there is a list, and the other one, every single time, I don't know if you guys have a list, but I know people have lists that they make, and some of us don't make those lists, and we go, we should have made a list as soon as it just goes horribly wrong, but most of you guys have lists, so every single time you look at a list, this is the only reason why that thing is on there. Every single time you look at a list, you will just go, take 5 seconds out or 5 minutes out and just go into a quiet little space and thank God for what he did in your life. That's the only reason. So from now onwards, every single time you're going to look at a list, you're just going to go, thank you for what you have done. That's it. But I do in the story, I like telling stories. I think we some of you guys know that. I think Johannes knows that I like telling stories. I think we forget how to tell stories. But anyway, so I'm going to tell you a story. And there's a list. And guys, it might be funny for some of the guys don't know this, but for all the single guys that I spoke at the back with, is that girls have a list. Not a big secret. Who of the men didn't know that? All of you knew that. That's brilliant. They have a list. And I'm actually, as I'm walking, because I can't find this girl, but they have a list on what the ideal man should look like or be like. And some of it's really superficial. It's tall, dark, and handsome. He should look like Conrad. But some of it might be just really superficial. I know this girl that I'm trying to find now is not here. So I'm not going to mention her name, but I can tell her story. She has on her list, one of the main things, the guy should be hairy. He should have bushy hair, beard, like chest hair. That's on her list. It's not even a joke. That's on her list. That's on her list. And some of it might be really cool stuff. So just there's a reason as the women in this church grow older, that list actually doesn't become superficial anymore. It becomes some really valuable, valid points. So guys, they have a list. Find out about what's on that list. And then go and do marriage prep. But my wife actually did have a list. But her list, this is funny. I have shared it with one or two of you, but her list wasn't 10 things that what she's looking for in a man. And I want you guys to listen to this. Even while I was busy pursuing her, before we started dating, she gave me a list with 10 things on there. 10, and it's probably, if I can remember correctly, it was probably handwritten. I threw it away. You'll find out why I did throw it away. There was 10 stuff, probably handwritten, and in the bottom she draws this little stick figures that's beautiful. It's a little little stick figure guy that's holding a little stick figure girl with a beautiful triangle dress at the bottom. So it probably had that list, and the list started like this. 10 reasons why we shouldn't date. It wasn't that funny. And then we started dating, and then she gave me that list again, and she said, 10 reasons why we shouldn't get married. 10 reasons why you shouldn't get married. And then we got engaged, we got married, but that list constantly came up. And when we got married, got back home from honeymoon, first fight, second fight, third fight, every single fight that I walked into, every single fight, that list came up, and she said, I told you about that list. I told you there is 10 things why we shouldn't, and this is exactly, and then we argue, and she has more Portuguese in her than she would like to admit, and I have drama. For those of you, my wife says I'm a drama queen, but I'm a king in drama. I'm just all out there. So the fights, it's quite comical, but it's actually not funny. It's horrible when we fight because of the two personalities. And just for the guys that do this, please, this is how I got it to start dating me. And you can't use this ever because it shouldn't actually be made available for you. But I read a book by John Piper. And in John Piper's book, he said something that is so cool. And this is how I convinced her. He said that two Bible-believing Christians, male and female, that are in a committed process, and I tried to look this up, so it's not exact his exact words, but this is what I said to her, that is in a committed process of sanctification, can get married and will work. This is what I told her. And it does make sense. Two, I'm just going to say that again. So every single time Cornelia would give me the list, I would go, no, but you don't understand. Both of us are Christians, male and female. We are in a committed process of becoming more like Jesus. So this can work. So every single time she would throw the list at me, I would throw the thing and the quote from John Piper, because no one argues against John Piper. And I would throw that to her and no one, you don't want to be that guy. So I don't want to confess and say, you know, maybe I'm not committed in the process of sanctification. And I'm definitely not going to say to my wife that I made the mistake once, that maybe she's not committed in the process of sanctification. You don't want to be that guy. You can never take your words back, ever. We say this as a joke, but you can never take your words back. It's a horrible thing. And this just got me thinking. This just got me thinking that maybe my understanding and my understanding of sanctification is just whacked, or my understanding of the gospel is just whacked, or I know that John Piper probably isn't wrong, or maybe I'm just at a really bad place. Let me tell you what's on that list before we continue. On that list was 10 things, and I'm not going to mention all of them because it's really embarrassing. I could mention them, and then some of the guys would just go, oh my goodness, that's me. But the list basically was summed up like this. There is something wrong with your character. Das bist du wild. That's. I acknowledge that you're a Christian. Once again, she painted a nice little picture. I acknowledge that, and there's something wrong with your character. You're such a very beautiful Christian there, and whatever, and something wrong with your character. Character, 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 character. And when Ross asked me to speak, this is the first thing that came to mind. And I've asked Cornelia on a number of occasions, what is that list? But she couldn't remember, because every single time I would ask her what that list is, she would just go, and everything's obviously peaceful. You don't ask your wife what is wrong with you when you're in a fight. Don't ever do that. Because she would just go, here's a list of 50 things that is wrong with you. And the issue with my character is this, is obviously role models. The way that I grew up, and most of you guys would be like this. This is just bothering me. There we go. I grew up without a dad, and I know a lot of you guys won't relate, but you were relate with the rest of it. I grew up without a dad, and when I went to high school, I went to a really good high school, I started playing rugby, and then my hero, my idol, was a guy called James Dalton. You guys know who that is? Yes. Bullet. He's not a really good role model at all. He's not a really good role model, but I just wanted, I got sent off from the rugby field so many times. For those of you that's looking at, that wasn't born yet, James Dalton was a hooker. He played number two. You guys know who he is? Just saying yes? Just saying yes. Anyway, he wasn't really, so I got sent off the rugby field on a couple of occasions. I just got in so much fight, even on the field, off the field. This is what I wanted to become. I just wanted to be like James Dalton. And for those of you that can't really relate, I'm sitting in a cinema the other day, and I enjoy Coke, for those of you that know me. And there's this beautiful Coke ad that comes up. And it's a girl, and she takes a sip of a Coca-Cola, and then it's in the morning, the sun just comes up on the beach. And she takes a sip of this Coca-Cola thing. And it was magic. It was just beautiful bodies, male and female, everywhere. And they were dancing around, and there was like Coke stuff running down. And so I'm sitting with a Coke in my hand, and I'm looking at this advertisement. And by the end of this whole thing, there's a girl or guy lying on a girl's lap and a girl on someone's back. And luckily, I just thought soberly, because that looks uncomfortable. But most of it, most of these ads, most of these social media, most of the stuff that we see out there shows us images and just bombards us with what we should be like, the James Daltons or the guys that are really well built like me. They show us what to wear. They show us how to speak. They show us what cars to drive. They show us everything on how we should be like. And every single time we look at this, we go, everything in us, the Holy Spirit in us, do this. It goes, do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But we still look at this, and it looks so pretty, and there's just a childish thing, no worries, no cares, I don't have to do, it's just beautiful, Jesus did everything, I just don't need to do, and it's airy-fairy, and that's the thing that just goes on in my mind when I look at this ad, because it looks enticing and childlike, but it's actually childish. And the church, we, every single one of you that sit here, and this is where I have a big struggle. Every single one of us that sit here today should be that Christian that other guys look up to, so that they can storm to this church. We shouldn't give people out there a gospel that promises everything and wants nothing. We should give them a gospel that promises everything but wants everything as well. That guys, this will hopefully help you, but that rugged thing, that cross-bearing, tomb-overpowering Jesus, tomb-overpowering Holy Spirit-empowering Christians. That's what we should be like, so that everyone can go, I want to be like Heinrich. In fact, I really want to be like Heinrich. Just, I have more hair. But just by two. And that's what we're called for. We aren't called just to be mediocre and sit in our chairs and not do anything. So here's the issue with my understanding of, I have two issues. The one is that there's something wrong with my character. And the other one is that I have an issue that I don't understand what the gospel is. I have an understanding. Let me just say this. I have an understanding, but it's wrong. I, for so long, understood the gospel to be its results. And I'll get to that now. So I understood that the gospel, sanctification, for those of you that don't know this, sanctification means this. It says, to be set apart for special use or purpose. That is to be made holy or sacred. Therefore, sanctification refers to a state or process of being set apart. Just before this, who can tell me what happens just before this? Diebe mentioned it, I think, and Heinrich probably, and every single song that we sang tonight. Just before this, justification happens. Who said justification to their boyfriend or girlfriend? She did, right? Yeah, you. There we go. Justification happens before this, where we were away from God. God sent His Son to die for us on the cross, and now we can have a relationship with God. We are justified by the fact that Jesus died for our sins. If you don't want to accept that, you'll one day take that punishment, which you don't want to do, by the way. So this is sanctification. This is the next slide I'm going to explain to you. This is what I believed for so long, what John Piper meant, and don't Don't yet. You can look up. I know that you're going to do it anyway. This is what I understand. This is my wrong understanding of stuff. This is my misconception of how stuff works. If you are committed in the process of sanctification and you're doing it wrong, it doesn't affect your position. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new creation has come. To the old has gone, the new is here. So your position in Christ, the day that you said, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you were a new creation. So I understood it to be that the day that I accepted Jesus as Lord, yes, I was a new creation, but the other stuff should have been there also. The other stuff should have, I should have immediately been a guy filled with awesome character that people look up to. And every single time I would sin or do something wrong and not go on that mission trip or whatever the case, I felt horrible. But it doesn't change our position, never will change our position. If you are a new creation, let me explain it this way. There's a new creation in you, and it really desires, for those of you that recently got born again, it really desires to do stuff. It really desires to become a better person. It really desires to stop doing certain stuff. Alexandra, she's got the same name as my son, except he's where are you? That girl over there. Because she is thankful, everything inside of her wants to give to the church as unto God. So that thing starts to happen in a very small part. So our position never changes. But my idea in my head is that I have to automatically look like Heinrich. Awesome Christian guy. Role model. Yeah, it's not a big of a role model. It doesn't change God's love. In Romans 5 verse, I'm going to read the scripture. So just, you have to bear with me. I'm not going to read your scripture. Write the scripture down. But everything in that, it's just too long and my English is leaving me as I go along. Romans 5 verse 1 to 11. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. While we were still sinners, God loved us. Loved. So our position in God's love never changes. It never changes. So the gospel says that God loves you. And your position is that you can have a relationship with me now. Time doesn't change it either. I've been a Christian for almost, 10 years, 9, 10, I don't know. And there's still something wrong with me. For some, it actually happens instantaneously in some areas, and then the rest just takes some time. But you can look at Christians, it didn't. Time doesn't change this. You are a new creation, and now something's being done in your life. Knowledge puffs up. There is I'll speak about knowledge a bit later on. But knowledge doesn't change your character. Doesn't change it. I've met some horrible people that know a lot. Am I allowed to say people are horrible? Yes. Heinrich said that it's cool. I am. Activity. Lord, we've cast out demons in your name. I don't know you. Go away. Jesus says. I went on mission trips. I went and did stuff. I planted a church, and my wife says that there's something wrong with my character. So I want everyone to understand, just before we go on to a big list of stuff, I want everyone to understand that this is it. Jesus died for your sins so that you can have a relationship with God. And as a guy in Urban once said, amen. That's all you need to know. But now, how do I change? How do I fulfill or sort out this character stuff that is horribly wrong inside of me, that I really want to do this stuff, but I don't? Paul says, wretched man that I am, that type of thing. How do I figure this out? Should I just stand there and wait for something supernaturally to happen. We know that's not right, because every single time we return like a dog to our vomit. Every single time we return to the world, and because that satisfies us at least a bit. How do I do this? Do you know? Okay. I was hoping for something. There's this big scripture. Anna Bendorf again. I'm done. There's this. You can go to the next slide. There's actually a place. I just put this on there because there is a place that you need to grow into maturity. Some people wouldn't have believed me if there wasn't scriptures on there. So I got some scriptures. But grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The next scripture that you can go to is 1 John 2. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. This is what you know, dear children. Your sins have been forgiven. Children, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who was in the beginning. I'm writing to you, fathers. There's a different... It's not older men. It's probably older men also, but there's some of you guys that probably supposed to be fathers or are fathers. Because you know Him from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. There's some of you that's here, that you have overcome certain stuff. Verse 14, to you, dear children, because you know the Father. It's simple. You know the Father. It's all you need to know, because you are children. I write to you, fathers, because you know Him who was in the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Isn't that such a cool scripture? Doesn't it want you to just grow up and mature? And just a couple of them are going, the rest of them are just, I don't know if I should grow up. It's nice to be this irresponsible. Doesn't it want you to grow up? No. Okay. It's just me then. I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures. This is how you grow up. But I want you to, again, I'm going to say this again. I want you to understand that Jesus died, God rose Him from the dead. Amen. This is how, everything that I'm going to say right now doesn't change your status. It just helps you to grow up. It just helps you to go to your wife one day and give her a list back, not the one that you threw away, but just give that list. I am a man, or ladies, a man of character. This is what I am. I'm a man that people look up to. Here's my list. You can give 10 or 50 reasons why you're a man, or you can go, look at my fruit. Stop laughing. Cut that out. Prayer, Matthew 6. This is personal development. This is how you can personally develop. This is then how you should pray. Prayer, I know that a lot of you guys pray, and I know that a lot of you guys pray in traffic, but go and read that scripture in Matthew 6. It gives us a place where we should pray. He said, go and close the door behind you, and then go into that quiet place and pray there. And then you start off there. You just don't drive around and pray, yay. Go and read that scripture, because prayer is there for personal development. The second one is meditation. It's not the one that everyone's thinking about, the one that you just sit there and hum. Meditation, did I put it? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, in anything, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Meditation, think about something. I can guarantee you, there's some of the guys that I do know, but I can guarantee you that if you take a scripture or if you think about something, you'll over and over think about it. If you constantly think about making money, you'll become that consumer thing. If you constantly think about that beautiful GTI Golf that with heated seat, you just want to crave that. I spoke to someone earlier. But if you, meditation is just think about something and go into that direction. Fasting, we have a fast that comes up. This is one of the disciplines that I really struggle with, because my body wants stuff. Fasting just allows us not to fall into every single thing that your body wants. Study. I just earlier said that knowledge puffs up. But study is really valuable. After 3 days, they found Jesus. They found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. So Jesus, let me just, so that you guys can understand. If Jesus had to go to the temple and study, maybe you should too. If Jesus wanted to figure out what scriptures, maybe you should too. Every single time I have this really big issue, and I might just go on a tangent now, but I have this big issue where people tell me, I don't have time and to read the Bible. Heinrich's got 3 kids. I have one and one on the way. Congratulations. His name is Sebastian. My son calls him Basias. But anyway, I'm just... But the problem is I get these conversations. I have no time to read the Bible because I go wake up this time and I go to bed that time. And I'm on Facebook that amount of hours and I can't read my Bible. They don't tell me about the Facebook. I just go like. They liked everything that Facebook possibly gives to like. They liked it. So that would probably take them like 50 million hours and they don't have time to read the Bible. So study. Fast, fasting, just by the way, you can fast social media. You are able to do it because the Holy Spirit lives in you. I know it's difficult, but it's tough fasting from social media. But maybe you should do that. Okay, so the next one, this is just for personal development. Outward is simplicity. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So go out, just be simple about it. Just go seek the kingdom. Submission. Father, if you are willing, take this cup. That wasn't meant to be, that big gap there. From me, yet not my will be done. Jesus says to God, he says, if I know that you're able, but not my will be done, but yours. So submission is an outward way of forming your character. Solitude. After he dismissed his disciples, he went up to the mountainside and prayed. Later that night, he was there alone. Service. For even the Son of Man, Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom. Everything in this world, and we know this, everything in this world wants or tells us that we just have to get. Jesus came to serve. I have no idea why they're doing announcements for the sound desk. I just have no idea. I honestly have no idea why they're doing announcements for that. I have no idea why we do announcements to say, go and serve there, or there isn't this opportunity to go on missions. I have no idea. When I typed that out, I didn't type it out. I copied and pasted the scripture. When I copied and pasted the scripture, I stood there and I went, because this is me. This is me. Why does someone ask me to go on a mission trip? I should just be there. When are you going on a mission trip, dear beer? Heinrich, do not answer this. When do you want your car to be washed? When do you need people on the sound desk? And then I hear the story, yeah, but I'm in this very particular stage of my life where I met this girl. Just go and serve at the sound desk, please. Just go and serve at the sound desk. Or I'm at this particular, where I'm looking for, and I cannot do missions, or I cannot lead the small group because I just recently got married. I really love you, but you should never say that to me. Who do you think you are? If Jesus, just let that sink in, if Jesus came, Son of God came to serve. But I just want coffee and nice, that's really good iced tea. But I just want iced tea and consume and consume and consume. I just want to sit in church. And by the way, if you are visiting, I'm not the pastor of this church. So just please come again. I should have said that in the beginning. But I just want to consume, consume, have. Jesus came to serve. Up to the point of death, he died. He didn't just serve, wash feet. He died. How many of you have died serving? Just raise your hands quickly. The next one is, by the way, that picture was at my wedding. That was the table decorations. Yes. Corporate. So this is how I grow in character corporately, is confession. And this is something that when I copy and paste it again, it was one of those areas that I went to spend, oh my goodness, this is it. This is probably it. This is it. Confession. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you might be healed. Or may be healed. Not might. May be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is this is for those Christians that have been Christians for a while. But whenever you need to come forth for an altar call, you just go, I'll just sort that out in my house. I don't want anyone else to see that I am struggling in that area. It is a spiritual discipline to confess your sins. It is a spiritual discipline. So for those of you that think that you are mature and you don't want other people to see, you are still on milk. You're not mature. A mature person acknowledges that there's something wrong with me. I need to go to the front and I need to confess my sin so that area in my life needs healing. I have a big problem, so I'm so glad that my wife would have shouted from the back. She's, amen! Because I remember the one day, and I'm not going to mention who preached, but I was sitting there and my wife, oh goodness, there's another funny story. If I have time, I'll tell you this. But I was sitting just there somewhere and my wife's sitting next to me and then someone that preached, and she didn't even nudge me. I just knew that she was looking at me. And I don't do this because I'm immature, because of that list. This is probably one of the things that was on that list. And so I'm sitting there, and I knew that God probably only spoke to me that day. Probably only spoke to me to come to the front. And then this guy that spoke in front, he said something, and I cannot remember what it was. And I was right there, even before he said this. I just looked at my wife. I'm not going to the front. And this guy said something that triggered, and I just went like this. Oh my goodness! And I started repenting right there. And then there was a pastor from Stellenbosch, and see us. Why would I even try to hide it? Because the next thing, he took students with him. And there was a student with him that probably knew the Lord for like a month. And he started praying for me. And I'm going, I'll just go. Confession is a discipline, celebration. Therefore, let us keep festivals not with all. Celebration is a spiritual discipline. The fact that she bought stuff with nice decorations and stuff. Celebration is a discipline. To celebrate stuff. Barnabas just went crazy when stuff happened. It is a discipline. I know some of you, when you walk in and you're slightly late and because you have discipline issues, but at least you can see celebration happening. Don't be late for church. Don't be late for worship. Worship! We can't move that up, can we? Worship is a spiritual discipline. Yes. Thank you. I am going to say this now. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, One will sing, another one will teach, another one will tell special revelation that God has given. One will speak in tongues and the other will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. Must strengthen all of you. Must strengthen all of you. Worship is a spiritual discipline. Some of us just have this ability to... Did I miss something? Some of you guys are really great Christians, and this is the letter my wife wrote. You're a really great Christian. I can see some of your fruit. I can see that you're involved over there, and I can see that you're involved, and I can see that you have an understanding of what the gospel is. I can see that. I can see that. But we have character issues. And my son, Alexander, and the next one, Sebastian, they need to one day look up and not do what we all did and go, we want to grow up like our father, but they need to one day just go, I really want to be like my dad. You guys should, every single one of us in this church should be that guy and girl that people go, oh my goodness, I want to be like that. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But we're supposed to be that. And there's some of you, and I know that Deb already made the altar call, but there's some of you, I'm not going to make a massive altar call. I'm just going to end off with prayer. But there's some of you that I know for a fact that needs to move to the front tonight and repent. When I mentioned that scripture, I've actually prayed for you. I saw some stuff, and I'm not going to mention it because otherwise you'll just be too afraid to come to the front. But when I said repent, and some of you guys just went, I'll do it later in your heart already. I want you, after I finish with prayer, I want you to basically run to the front because Heinrich will be here and Debia will be in the front and some facilitators will be in the front. But I want you to run to the front and if that thing is just way too big to confess and you're scared, just run to the front anyway. We'll figure it out. We'll figure that discipline out. And just before I prayed, in this week, I think it might have been Thursday, I prayed for a specific girl. This is weird because it either felt to me that you have dreams, and it's weird dreams, but this image that I saw was that of a I'm going to call it a goat, but only the skeleton. It was a dead thing, but only the eyes were alive. You're tormented by weird dreams, weird visions, weird stuff. No one would know who you are, so you can come to the front as soon as I'm finished with prayer. I want the other people to continue in prayer. We're not going to go for coffee because that doesn't matter. We can afterwards. For those of you guys that think, oh my goodness, we're not going to get coffee in church. But I want you to understand what church is about, what your salvation means. John says, faith without works is dead. If you continue to come to church and there's no fruit and there's no works, can I say it, what that means? Can I say it? Just acknowledge, it's dead. Faith, we don't want that. So some of you guys are going to continue to pray, and then those people that I said, and even if you have something else that you just felt that you need to come to the front and do and make a thing with God, you can do that. The worship team can go on so long. I'm gonna pray. Father, thank you that you decided to send your son to die for us on the cross. Thank you that you made provision for us so that we can boldly just enter into your throne room. Thank you that you made provision for us to come to you any time of day without any sacrifices because you paid everything already. Thank you, Father, that we can belong to a grouping of people, that we can belong in a house like this. Because of what you have done, we cannot add to our faith, or we cannot add to by doing work so that we can be better and greater and stronger. But Father, thank you that you've made provision for us and that you have made us a new creation. And Father, we go through year on year on year, and we just commit our lives again every single year. And then by the end of that, we just go, oh my goodness, I cannot see that I have done what you wanted me to do. Father, I pray that every single person here, every single person here, Father, that they will commit today to be that example that you have called them to be. To be that example at work, to be that example at play, to be that example in at church. Father, I know that you add, Father, but I know that we can do a massive work in Durbanville. These young working can do a massive work in Durbanville because you have placed something in us. And we want that to grow. We want to grow into maturity. We want the whole world to come to this church to see what's happening because of our character. Because of our love for one another, which is supernatural because it's ridiculous even in that statement. Father, thank you for your love. Amen. So I want you guys to come to the front that needs to come to the front. The rest of you, if you want to break up in small little groups, you can do that and pray. And then we'll call you for coffee afterwards. If there is anyone that has a word, you can do that too.
Thank you, Conrad, for the word. That girl that you prayed for was me. For 10 years, I've been afflicted and tormented at night by a demonic entity, which was placed on my life as a generational curse even before my birth. And I was a believer, but I backslid, fell into sexual sin. And today I'm coming, this is my confession, because today everything that is in the darkness, bringing into the light so God can set me free. And for 10 years I've been afflicted with this thing, with this serpent that has been, torments me, keeps me from sleep, molests me in my dreams. Seriously, guys, this stuff is real. And I'm here to shame the powers of darkness and to give God glory because He has set me free. He has set me free completely. And I thank Him. I thank Him. I'm alive. I'm breathing. The amount of times I got in my car, intoxicated, on tablets, overdosing, but I didn't die. Accidents. Weird, crazy stuff. Last year, I had a dream. That day, I got drunk with my old bus, and I drove home. My old boss, sorry. Durban accent. And I drove home drunk. And that night I had a dream, and this skeleton came to me with wings. Said to me, I'm death. You were supposed to die today. Your time was up. And God has kept me by His grace. And I'm here because of the grace of God. And that's why I'm going to be outrageous, because God has given me everything, so I'm going to give Him everything. But brothers and sisters, I need you. You're my brothers, you're my sisters. We are in a battle. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against rulers, principalities, rulers of this darkness. And we need to take up our weapons and fight. And I need you, because I need your prayers. I'm free. Christ has set me free. It is finished. But we have a battle to fight. Let's take up our arms. And yeah, I'm just coming, being honest in my brokenness, but I give God glory. And the Spirit of God is amazing, and He's here. Take it. Take it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And the enemy is keeping you in bondage because right now there's so much fear in you. There's so much fear in you. Come. Come receive the gift. It's free.